Now, as we come to the end of the month of January already, who thought we'd be here that fast? January's just about gone, right? And last weekend in January. Now, some people have set goals, different kinds. Some make resolutions, and they did those as according to what they felt they wanted to do. Some related to a weight issue or a change in attitude about certain subjects, and others added fasting. And hope many of you did, and thanks to all who did, that fasting and praying, because it's really not about diets, and it's not about whether or not we hit certain goals and achieve them. While those have some importance, fasting and praying, getting closer to the Lord, is more important. And sometimes people have added both, a little resolution, some fasting and praying. And now, for those of you that just exclusively wanted this month to be a month where you began some weight loss due to all the activities in November and December and all the parties and all the goods and all the stuff that you consume. And now you figured out your weight loss. You were going to have to only weigh this much each week. You would lose so many pounds each week. And then not only each week, but now by the end of the month, your target goal in pounds was to be, and now you figured it all out. Instead, you're 55 pounds behind. So it's a struggle, isn't it, sometimes? Yes. So what do you do in the face of realities? When some of the things you've been praying for, remember Daniel prayed 21 days before his answer came. So it wasn't like instantaneous. Sometimes they are. Praise God when we have an instantaneous answer to prayer, a miracle, a healing. Something happens on the spot, and Jesus did that in his ministry, and we've seen that here at our church. Other times, and most of the time, it's progressive, because healing and miracles can be two different things. And healing can be that progressive, over time, restoring of health, and a miracle, bam, just like right now, it happens, and the answer to prayer is given. We're grateful for when that happens. We expect that, right? Holy Spirit is capable of doing that. But what if, in the process, God does with all of us, the process of taking us out on a journey to test our faith, and to hone our character, and to build us to the point where we can handle what he's got for us coming down the road in terms of those promotions and blessings and growth and spiritual development. What if he decides that's the track, and most of the time that's what he decides? Ask Joseph how that looked, who had a dream as an adolescent, and then looking forward to that, thought perhaps that would go from A to Z in one leap. No, he went through seven major life-altering setbacks before he ever got to the dream that God had for him. No doubt there were days he wondered if that dream was ever even from God, because it took so long and it took him in so many different places and directions. So things don't always happen as fast as we want them to, do they? The weight doesn't come off as fast as we want it to. When I'm pretty quick, it doesn't go off very well. When things aren't changing as quickly as you want them to, there are three steps forward, it seems like, and two steps back. Anybody ever have days like that? Setbacks. But God specializes in comebacks because he loves doing that. That's who he is. He's God. He does it. So you've got one of two choices in the face of reality. You can either choose to worry, or you can choose faith. You can either choose anxiety. This isn't happening. It's never going to happen. I wonder how long this is going to take. Or you can choose faith. You want to have a better day. You want to have a better month. You want to have a better year, 2020. You want to have a better decade than you've had in the past. Well, here's advice from the Word of God, Paul writing it. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Now, if you can make that choice, it can change everything. And some of you today, even reading that verse creates more stress for you, because if you're like, now I've got to worry about being worried, okay? Because he doesn't want me to worry, so I'm worried about that. I'm worried about enough other things, and I've got to worry about this too. Really? Oh my goodness. So add that to the list. Don't worry about anything. Goodness. Because worry is actually stealing from the life God wants you to have and to live. Worry just dilutes it. It paralyzes it. It stings it. It keeps you from the best of what God wants to do. So the truth is, we all have struggled and still do with worry. It's more obvious in some people than others, but everybody struggles with worry at some point in life. We deal with it in different ways. Some people sweat by the bucket load when they worry. Other people get real quiet when they're worried. Some people withdraw into themselves, don't want to see anybody or be with anybody when they're worried. Some people yell at the top of their voices. Some people try to control everything they can when they're worried. Well, I read a psychologist's list of worry indicators. It's very vast, but I'm just going to give you a couple of them to see if any of these resonate with any of you. For instance, if you're a worrier or you're anxious, do you tend, and here's significant indication that that's who you are, what you are, do you tend to blow up problems? There's a problem and you just magnify it. You just let it get way bigger than it even actually is. That's an indicator you've got anxiety issues. Do you really get upset by small annoyances? That's kind of a tripwire right there, right? Do you feel insecure about the future and you're worried about it? You're concerned about it. You've already gone ahead of yourself and you've painted the worst possible case scenario. And even though you feel that way, really worry doesn't work for you. When you start worrying, it works on you. It does stuff to us physically, emotionally, spiritually, and keeps us from the life that God has planned for us. And it saps the joy of the Lord out of our spirit. But if we're going to get past worry and anxiety, then we've got to look for something better than just sitting here worried about life. It's not enough to just say, do not worry. There's got to be some more to that than just a negative side of it. Don't worry. I want to give you a picture of this using the story of Jesus and his disciples. They're in the boat on the Sea of Galilee, and a storm comes up. And in the middle of that, you get a very clear picture of what it is we need to do, because it's a great template. And often on a daily basis, to face the reality of anxiety, to make different choices than we typically do, to choose faith over worry. I want this to be the best year we've ever lived, but on the journey, we're going to have all kinds of tests and detours and setbacks in order to get there, because God is going to test us to see if our faith matches the challenge we have. So first of all, face reality. That's the cause of worry. It's where it all starts. You're not going to get past anxieties, and you're not going to get enough faith in your life so you can just walk around pretending everything is good, because it's not good all the time. You start to face reality, and they had a reality to face in this story, Matthew chapter 8. Then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly, say suddenly, a terrible storm came up with waves breaking into the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. So you're out on a boat. It's a big lake, the Sea of Galilee. There's a huge storm, and Jesus is taking a nap. Now, I was doing a little bit of reading about that the other day. And I told my wife about it. All the significant major people in history would actually leave dinner tables and lunch tables and disappear for 15 or 20 minutes. Nobody knew where they went. Thought, well, they go to the bathroom, they have, you know, irritable bowel, or, you know, what's the problem with these people? They're always, no, they would go take a nap. They take a power nap. They go take 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and go sleep. Then they come back, finish the conversation. I thought, wow, that's kind of interesting that all these significant people were doing that. And even doctors are telling people now it's a good thing to do. So when we were over in Italy, remember, they closed shop for a couple of hours every afternoon. No restaurants are open. Everything just kind of quiets down. What are these people doing? Siesta, right? There's a little break. Take a nap. Well, Jesus is taking a nap. He's sleeping in the boat. He's going to sail across the Sea of Galilee. Perfect picture of a situation where the reality of anxiety affects us. And if you think these disciples and all that they went through, there are some experiences they all shared together. First of all, the storm is a picture of unexpected problems. They're on this lake. It's perfectly calm. Everything is great. They're making their way across the lake. And all of a sudden, a storm arises. The Sea of Galilee is a natural wind tunnel because of its configuration between the mountain ranges. And if the wind picks up, you go from calm to destructive to a full-on storm in just a matter of moments. And that's what happened to them. That's a picture sometimes of how our lives are. Look at the circumstances. Everything looks good. We're moving along at the right clip, and we've almost put it in engaged cruise control, and all of a sudden, a circumstance comes out of nowhere, and you're in a storm. Storms, sudden storms. You don't have any idea that they're on their way. And I've walked through the journey of life long enough to have seen storms affect my daughter, storms affect my son, affect our family, affect my wife with sudden illness, take my younger brother when he was young, and storm I went through here not long. Right now you're thinking, I thought this was supposed to help me not worry, Pastor. I thought that's what the text was all about. Now I'm even more worried about all the things that could happen, because you just start ticking off things that went on in your life that could go on in my life. If you attempt a lessening of anxiety with everything going just perfectly, and everything's going to be right in your life, that the sea is always going to be calm, you're never going to get there, because that's not reality. That's not how life is lived. And you know, people will say, well, this year is going to be better than last year. Yes, I believe it is. Because I believe our best is ahead of us, not behind us, but not necessarily going to go from A to Z without any problem or challenge. There are going to be circumstances. You don't have a promise of a challenge-free life. And I was thinking the other day, as I was looking at this passage, about storms. My goodness. I think of one of our law enforcement officers who's here this morning on his way to take care of his responsibilities in Sacramento and making a turn on part of Highway 99 and out of nowhere, T-boned, almost lost his life that day. Corey, we're glad you're here today. God got you through the circumstances that suddenly happened. Amen? Out of nowhere. Literally out of nowhere. Goodness. Because we don't know what's going to happen in every circumstance. But you find a way to have faith in the face of the reality that there are sudden storms in life. And God allows them. Right? So here's the secret. You don't build some pretend life and walk around thinking everything's perfect. Everything's perfect. You find reality and you watch what God can do in the middle of your reality. So they're in the boat. They're sitting there. They're watching the waves begin to build. Now the waves begin to rock the boat. And all of a sudden, the waves actually start coming over the sides and over the edges of the boat into the boat itself. The waves now are higher than the boat. And they're facing another circumstance, the waves. They're facing overwhelming circumstances, overwhelming problems. And there are some circumstances that we face and we think, I can handle this. I can face this. I'm good. I can face that in the boat that I'm traveling in. It's a calm sea. It's not that bad. But once the waves start coming over the edge of your boat, and you begin to feel like, there's no way I can manage this. I can't get enough water out of this thing to keep it afloat. This thing is overwhelming me. The circumstances everywhere in life can do that to us. It can happen in our personal lives through tests. They can happen when you turn on the news and you turn on CNN and everything is bad and negative and horrible and difficult and awful, and you feel like your boat's going to capsize. What am I going to do? And it's unfortunate that people just make a living stirring up everybody's emotions in the wrong direction, right? That's the reality of life sometimes we face. They've had the reality of the waves coming into the boat. Then number three, the boat. The boat's a picture of inadequate resources. It wasn't sufficient enough. They're in this thing. It's not big enough to weather the storm. If they'd been on a cruise liner, Celebrity Cruises across the Sea of Galilee, they'd have been fine, because that kind of a vessel could handle any wave like that. But this boat is too small to weather that storm. And you look at your life, we face inadequate resources as well. We face inadequate resources sometimes in finance. If you had enough money, if the resources were there, you wouldn't have to worry about this. You wouldn't be anxious about this, but you don't have enough. It's insufficient. If you had all the time in the world, and you wouldn't have to worry about a project you've been working on, but we don't have all the time in the world. If your health was always perfect and you had all the energy you ever needed, you'd have no worry at all. But it's not that way. We have inadequate resources when we face the reality of tests that God allows. Then fourth, Jesus was sleeping. That's the reality of feeling all alone. Anybody ever feel like you're all alone in the battle? Here they are in the boat, his disciples on one end of the boat, and Jesus is sleeping on the other end of the boat. He's enjoying himself. Storm's getting worse. They're panicking. We're going to go under. Jesus has just ministered to thousands of people. He's going to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. He's going to be ministering to thousands more. He's so tired. He's sleeping through the storm. Think about how exhausted he must have been, that the rocking of the boat and the splashing of the waves coming on board Still didn't wake him up. I've been that tired and that asleep. My wife can tell you. Because she'll either wake me up or tell me the next morning, didn't you hear that? Didn't that wake you up? What? What wake me up? Man, when I go to sleep, I don't sleep long, but I sleep hard and deep. I mean, it's like the light switch goes from full on to full off in one flip. Boom. It's not a slow drift. It's a bam, and I'm gone. And so I get that. The exhaustion just totally takes over. And as the disciples see the storm growing more intense, they begin to think, when's he going to wake up? Is this like going to get him up out of his sleep? Think about the conversations they've got to be having on board the boat right now, right? Maybe you ought to go wake him up. Why don't you grab him by the toes and see if you can get him to get up? I'm not waking him up. You wake him up. I'll wake him up. No, I don't want to wake him up. And so back and forth and back and forth this stuff goes, and they're constantly arguing about it. And one of them says, no, you wake him up. No, the last time I woke him up, he made me try to walk across the top of the water. I'm not waking him up. And finally, they go wake him up. In that moment when Jesus is asleep, they've got this feeling, we're facing the storm. Jesus can make all the difference, but he's not awake. So he's not aware. And I'm all alone out here. That's the way we feel sometimes. Circumstances test. The worse it gets, the more we wonder, where's God in all of this? We've got a problem. We know that God must know we're going through this because he knows everything, right? But the problem keeps happening and it continues going on. And the feeling we have is Jesus is asleep. He's not alert to my problem. And your cries become, God, why don't you do something about this? Have you ever prayed that prayer? I prayed that prayer. There are times in our lives when we begin to think, why are you letting this go on and on? You could stop this like right now, right? I mean, just speak the word, Lord. It's done, handled, taken care of. Can't you see the waves are getting higher? I don't know if I'm going to be able to last any longer. I remember going back and forth with him one time on that topic because of the test I was in, and it was a difficult time in life. And I kept telling the Lord, And finally I shut up, and then he just laughed. And I heard God laugh. And he's laughing at me. And yeah, he goes, because I know there's more in you. You can do this. With my help, you can do this. Would you just stop complaining and trust me? You can do this. And you want to shake God awake. He doesn't need to be shaken awake. He's fully awake. That's our feeling. Because God, we know, is bigger than whatever we're facing. It's just how we feel. Our emotions start taking over because the spirit of fear cranks up our emotions. So how do we keep from worrying when it seems that God is slow in answering? He's never slow. He's always on time. He's only slow from our perspective because we're in time. And when it seems to us that life is overwhelming, clichés don't work, nothing we can patly say dispels that worry. I could stand up here and we could sing, or I could have Mila come up and sing, the sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow, you know, and everybody go, wow, that's a great song, but statistics and songs don't work, right? I could tell you 92% of what you're worrying about is never going to happen to you. And I'm sure that you're thinking right now, well, what about the other 8%? Is that going to happen to me? Appealing to the physical problem that worry brings, that doesn't work either. Because here's what's going to happen. The more you worry, the tense and tight and spasms your muscles are going to start having. You're going to have an elevated heart rate. Your blood pressure is going to begin to go up and out of the normal zone. Your pituitary adrenal gland is going to start excreting too much adrenaline into your blood, and your heart is going to take off, and it's going to try to skip beats because it can't handle all that stimulus that's coming through the bloodstream. And you're wearing yourself out with your anxiety and your worry. So in the face of realities of life, if I'm going to stop having the anxiety and worry and panic attacks, I have to have an answer, right? What's the answer? Well, you're never going to get rid of anxiety and telling yourself not to be anxious and just trying to speak to yourself, calm down, you're going to be okay. That just makes you more anxious because all you're doing is speaking to the fact that you are upset because you're focused on your anxiety. The only way you're going to get through this is to focus on the one who has your answer. And what's the answer? First, you face that reality. You choose faith next, the cure for our worry. You choose faith. It's the cure for our worry. You do what the first followers of Jesus did, and they gave us a great template. Then we look at it in Matthew 8. The disciples went to Jesus and woke him up shouting, "Lord, save us! We're going to drown." And Jesus answered, "Why are you afraid?" Well, that took all the wind out of their sails, didn't it? "You have so little faith." Ouch. Then he stood up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly all was calm. The disciples just sat there in awe. "Who is this?" they asked themselves. "Even the wind and the waves obey him." So there are some things we need to do when we find ourselves in a crisis. First, ask for help. Ask. Finally, they get to the point where the danger is so great, they figured we better wake him up. We better ask him for help. I don't know why it is that we wait until we think we're almost going to drown till we ask for help. And it frustrates me to no end. You know, people go, "Well, I went to this doctor, and then I went to that doctor. And then I went to a chiropractor," because, you know, of course, they can fix anything. "And then I went to this drugstore, and I got this bottle of pills. And then I tried this pad and this strap and this. And I guess all I got left to do now is pray." Why don't you do that from day one? Maybe you'd have saved yourself a lot of anxiety and a lot of trouble. Ask. These were fishermen. Some of them knew what they were getting into when they went across the water in a storm, right? But they thought, "We can handle this. We got this. We're good." And they went from, "I've got this," to, "We're going to die." "We're going to drown." It's the last point. Why is it at the last point we finally ask for help? The sooner we ask for help, the less worry we're going to have, right? Sometimes I've learned warriors who remain warriors are reluctant to ask for help. And the reason I've learned this is because I've watched people for over 5 decades doing what I do, and here's what I found out. Some people enjoy living in a state of constant worry. That's their comfort zone. They wouldn't be comfortable if they didn't get up in the morning with a whole bunch of things they have to worry about. They've learned that's their new norm. When you ask for help, it seems like it lessens the worry in your life. Maybe you're a little embarrassed to ask for help. Maybe you think you know better than everybody else and you can get through this on your own. Like the guy I told you about, whose kid fell down a flight of stairs at the Boston Garden, and big linebacker from New York picked him up and handed him to his dad. We don't need any help. We're fine. Okay. You know better than everybody. Some people don't ask for help because it's simply pride. I got this. Ask for help. God made you to be connected to other people. And God made you to be connected to each other and to Him. That's where you begin. It never bothers God when you're asking Him for help. In fact, He asks us to ask Him for help. Don't worry about anything, but then it reads, instead, pray about everything, tell God what you need, and thank Him for all He has done. So when you ask God for help, there's more power in that simple request than anything else to deal with the anxiety and the spirit of fear that's trying to cripple you. This is God's prescription for what do we do when we face things on our way to the destiny and the breakthrough and the answers and the better year than we've ever had, but we get interrupted because the devil isn't going to roll over and just get out of your way because you're heading for your destiny. He's going to do whatever he can, and God's going to allow him to test you. The single most effective cure for anxiety and worry is prayer. You pray. What I love about this verse, it gives us directions for the kind of prayer. What kind of prayer is it that defeats the anxiety and the worries in my life? Prayer that includes 3 things, talk, tell, and thanks. Talk to God. What do you talk to God about? Everything, it says. Everything is the word used. Pray about everything. When you talk to Him about everything, He has the power to defeat the spirit of fear in your life. All right, I went under the scale. You have some people who say, "Well, I hardly ever pray at all. I'll pray if there's an emergency. Then I try to figure out what words I should say. I'm desperate, and so I'll ask God to help me. I call on God." Kind of interesting, even the atheist, when he's pinned against the wall, goes, "Oh, God." Yeah, interesting how that comes out of people when they're pinned against the wall. Then there are others who say, well, I pray once or twice a day. I have my devotions, and then I'll stop a little bit later in the day and thank God for his goodness. And then you have the other end of the scale. I have a constant conversation with God every day, talking to him about everything all day long, about my details, the details I can't figure out what to do with, the good, the bad, the ups and downs, no matter what it is, the frustrations, the fears, the anxieties, the victories, those things that seem to bring promise to us. When it comes to worry and anxiety, the closer you get to constant conversation with God, the less worry you're going to have. It neutralizes the spirit of fear when you pray. And then you tell God what you need. Pray about everything and tell him what you need while you're praying about everything. So we talk to God, but often many people don't ever specify. Well, God, would you just please bless me today? What does that mean? Bless you how? What area of your life do you want to be blessed in? What specific thing is it you're wanting him to bless you about? We talk to God, but we don't specify often enough. We talk to God about all kinds of general things. You know, bless my kids. You know, bless our home and bless our automobile. And, well, how? How do you want God to do that? Now, I remember Dr. Cho in Seoul, Korea, talking to us. Said, I prayed and prayed and prayed because I needed a bicycle for transportation when I was first starting in the ministry, and I had no transportation. I kept asking God for a bicycle. And then finally, after no bicycle materialized, when I was praying, the Holy Spirit said to me, would you please specify what kind of a bicycle do you want? Do you want a one-speed? Do you want a multi-speed? How big of a bicycle do you want? And he said, so I specified. He said, 24 hours later, that bike was delivered to my house. I had that bike because I was specific in my prayers. We talk to God. We need to be specific. This is what I'm concerned about. Tell God what you're worried about. Just be honest about it. I want to do that in your mind right now while you're listening. Maybe there's something you're carrying that's a huge burden to you. God, here it is. This is something that concerns me. This is what I'm worried and anxious about. And I'm going to ask you to specifically intervene in this matter on my behalf. Then you thank him. You thank him for everything he's already done. Thank you, God. Even though I'm facing this circumstance, I don't want to face it. I don't like it. I can't figure out why I have to go through this. But I thank you for what you've already done in my life. And I praise you for the good things you've done throughout my life. And we come to the conclusion, you're allowing it. There's a reason, not so much. Why are you allowing it, Lord? What do I need to learn from this while I'm going through this, Lord? And then you thank him for his love. Thank him for the gifts he's provided you. There's something about gratitude that defeats the power of anxiety in your life. Then the second thing, you question your fears. Challenge them. Don't roll over for the spirit of fear. The first thing Jesus did when he woke up, he looks at his disciples and he says, why are you afraid? You can almost hear the disciples go, did you look around us, Jesus? Did you see the waves? Do you hear the wind? We can hardly hear ourselves talk. We're about to go under. That's why we're so afraid. So why did Jesus ask this question? He already knew the answer, right? He always does. Because Jesus knows that our worries always grow out of our fears. We're fearful. That's where our worries come from. They had Jesus in the boat. God was obviously going to take care of God. He's in the boat. No worries there. But they didn't see that. They totally missed this moment. They miss it. Now they're fearful. They're overwhelmed. Our fears always result in worries and upset and emotions getting out of control. If you've got a worry, there's fear behind it somewhere. There's a spirit of fear manifesting and prodding and poking at you, but that didn't come from God. God gave you love and power and a sound mind. So you're worried about your child. There's a fear of constant and constant anxiety about some behavioral patterns you've noticed, a fear based on something that happened in your past that may surface. There's some fear that's creating constant anxiety and agitation that may be about your job or about your education or about other people and what they may be thinking about you. But there's this constant anxiety, and if there is, there's fear behind it, and there's a spirit behind that. That's why Jesus encourages us here. Why are you so afraid? Question your fears. Question them. We feel like our fears are the final authority. Once you question them, they immediately melt away from the reality of affecting your life. Then we realize they're not the ultimate arbiter of what's going to happen to us. God is the final authority. His word's what's going to last, not my fears. So one of the most common phrases in the Bible, do not be afraid. Over and over and over. Don't ever be afraid or discouraged, he told Joshua. I'm the Lord your God. I'll be there to help you wherever you go. That command is repeated often to so many people in the scripture. I made a list of some of those people. Don't be afraid. And they were all people of faith. These were not people that just, you know, had no faith. They weren't serving God. These were people that were serving God. And they had moments of great fear, from Abraham in the Old Testament to a guy in the last book of the Bible, of the Old Testament, named Zechariah, a priest in the Old Testament, from A to Z, every one of those people, God says, do not fear. People like Isaac and Jacob and Hagar and Rachel, God said, do not be afraid. To Moses and Joshua, Gideon and Elijah and David and Solomon and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel, he said to all of these great people, he said, do not be afraid. He said it to Peter, Paul, and Mary, all three of them. Which Mary, might you ask? He said it to all three Marys in the New Testament, to Mary Magdalene, to Mary the mother of Jesus, and also to Mary the mother of James. He said, don't be afraid. He said it to the shepherds. He said it to the 12 disciples. He said it to Jairus. He said it to Jehoshaphat. God told all of them, don't be afraid. Why does God tell all of them not to be afraid? Because they were afraid. And that's why God tells you, don't be afraid. Because every one of these great people of faith, they faced fears in their lives. And God said to them, don't be afraid. The only way to never face fear in your life is to just bail out on life. And that's unfortunately what some people have done. They've just folded their tent and said, I can't handle it, and walked away. Anybody who's really living life, growing, facing problems, challenges, has a purpose and a mission and a focus from God, doing new things, picking up the responsibility, you're going to face challenges that make you afraid. You're going to face some things that strike fear in your spirit. And when you face a fear, we've got to choose where we're going to go with that. Either we get derailed, set back, thrown back, or we stand up to it and we face the spirit of fear. And we say, I know in whom I have believed. I'm persuaded he's going to help me and keep me. Am I going to live with it? Am I going to just live there? I either get thrown off the rails or just stand there living with it constantly in anxiety? Am I going to run away? Constant running away in life. And some people make an entire lifetime. Or am I going to face it with faith? That's the question. So you hear God saying, don't be afraid. That spirit of fear is a liar. My God is true. And God said this to all the great people of faith. He says it to you. Don't be afraid. Jesus says to us, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And he says, the peace I'm giving you is not fragile like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. And so when you know there's something you're afraid and it's creeping and it's moving in your direction and it's creating anxiety, get a piece of paper and spell out what that fear target is in your life, what you're anxious about. Face the reality. This is what I'm facing, and write the sentence. And then write the words of Jesus right underneath that sentence. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is not fragile like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. And write that right underneath it and say, this trumps that every single time. And third, increase your faith. Am I telling you that you worry because you don't have enough faith? Jesus and I both are telling you that, because that's exactly what Jesus told the 12. Yes. Jesus says to these disciples, when they're so worried in that storm, "You of little faith." Well, he was rebuking them. That wasn't a nice little, "You of little faith. You've got God on board here. You really think we're going to drown?" Okay. Increase your faith in the middle of the storm. It's important to remember, these disciples had a good reason. There was a reality to worry in the natural, with the natural eye. Because remember, we're talking about 20/20 vision. Remember, you have a natural set of eyes, and you can correct the vision when it is not perfect. But you also have a spiritual set of eyes. And also, at times, that vision needs to be corrected by the truth of God's word. Amen? And so you had the reality they were looking at. These are real waves. This is a howling wind. Some of them were fishermen. They'd been out on that lake. They understood what those storms can do. There was a reality they were facing. They knew what was going on. They knew it was very dangerous. But Jesus said, you need to increase your faith. That's a reminder that there are no circumstances big enough to spend your life worried about. None. Any circumstance that I worry about will always take me in the wrong direction. It will take me in a self-centered direction, give myself an advantage, go protect yourself, go cower, go build a fence around yourself, or an anxiety direction. Any circumstance I worry about is going to keep me from growing in my faith, which is what the purpose of the test is, to get us to grow stronger in faith. So how do I face the circumstance? The real circumstances, the realities, this is dangerous, with faith. Jesus encourages us, the way we face reality with faith is by understanding the reality of who God is, who our God is. He's more real than anything you're facing. What you're dealing with is temporary. You're with him on your side. He is eternal. And he told us in real simple pictures. He said, look at the flowers. God clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today, but tomorrow is thrown into the fire. See how temporal it is? It doesn't last. So you can be even more sure that God will clothe you. Don't have so little faith. Flowers don't have faith, but we do. Jesus is saying, you trust in the care of God and who he is. Flowers don't worry, and they're cared for. The question is, how do you increase your faith when you're faced with overwhelming circumstances and it tags your emotions and you just are anxious and edgy and worried? By realizing that the very same circumstances that cause you to worry should be driving you, these circumstances should be driving you to embrace and to believe and to trust the God who gave you life and purpose. Some of you are great warriors. You should earn medals for all the expressions of worry that come out of you. You should hang them across your chest, because all you do is worry. But you need to turn that into becoming great warriors. Some of you, no matter what it is that's coming, you can see it coming. Well, this is going to be horrible. We shouldn't do that. We better not take that risk. It's over. It's going to overwhelm us. You're great warriors. Great warriors can also become great people of faith. You know what's headed your way, but you become a warrior, and you're trusting God, and you run to the battle. You run to the giant. You don't run away from him. And that's based on the fact you know who your God is. So what are you going to do about it? That's the question. You know it's coming. You're going to worry about it in advance. You're going to start troubling yourself at night. You're not sleeping well because you're worried about tomorrow. Or are you going to put your faith in God in advance? Because our God calls himself by the name I Am. I Am. In my yesterdays, when I needed him, he was I Am to me. In my today, when I need him, he is still my I Am. If he gives me tomorrow, and something comes in my direction unexpectedly, he will be there as my I am. He's the great I am. How do you find the power to have faith in the midst of realities? You put your faith in the great I am. He always has been. He is. And no matter what the future looks like, he always will be I am. Jesus taught in Luke 8, the seed that fell among the thorny weeds is like those who hear God's teaching, but they let the worries and riches and pleasures of this life keep them from growing and producing good fruit, which is his goal. That we grow, that we produce fruit, and that fruit remains. Those are his goals for every one of us. But we get worried and distracted. We go after wealth, and we go after personal pleasure, and we begin to dilute the purpose for which God gave us life. And the next thing you know, we have lost instead of won because we didn't get to produce the fruit. It's a picture of life. You've been right on the edge of victory so often, on the edge of greatness so often, on the edge of seeing the changes God wanted to have made in your life, on the edge of letting go of something that should have been dispatched a long time ago, on the edge of starting that ministry here at Calvary Christian Center where you know God wants you and planted you, of seeing your family serving Jesus. You just about got there, but then the enemy, watching the potential, steps in, and God permits him to step in like he did Job, and he strikes you, and worry jumps in, anxiety jumps in, distractions begin to pull at you, and the next thing you know, you back off and you back down, and you just fell short of where God wanted you, and you know you should be living. Jesus said, if you would just ask me to help increase your faith one step at a time by trusting me in the fire and in the battle with the problems that you're dealing with, don't wait until your life gets perfect to say, now I have faith in God. Trust me with what you're facing today. Take the steps of faith today and watch how I'll work. Does God always work like I want him to work? No. He hardly ever works the way I want him to work because his ways are higher than mine. His thoughts are greater and higher than mine. My thoughts and his thoughts sometimes are on two different planets because he knows it all and I have a little tiny squirrely picture of what it is he's trying to accomplish. So absolutely not. I do know when I trust him with my challenges and I watch him go to work in us and through us in the middle of the test, my faith has grown stronger when I come outside that test because I've built some muscle having to work against resistance. And then fourth, you acknowledge God's control. What happens next is almost funny. You make a fun skit out of this. Here are all the disciples on board the boat. They're hoping something's going to happen when Jesus wakes up. Finally, he wakes up, and they're thinking, we're about to die. They actually wrote a song. Somebody wrote a song on the basis of the King James Version of this. Carest thou not that we perish? And they used to sing it in church. Well, that was a real downer, like, oh, we're going to die. We're just all going to die and drown out here. Jesus simply looks around and says, oh, you have little faith. You should not be so afraid. Then he looks at the wind and the waves, and he does this. Shh. Be still. And immediately, the disciples are sitting there literally with their mouths wide open. Who is this guy? He tells the wind and the waves to do that, and they do it. He's God. That's who he is. He made the wind. He made the waves. He controls everything. The disciples, they're worried about what's going to happen to them next. They've got God in the boat. Here you are. You're worried about what's going to happen to you. You've got God in your boat. He's the one who created the galaxies with a word. Everything is held in its place because of his sustaining power. Keeps all the molecules doing what they're supposed to. So what are you going to depend on? Is your life focused on the circumstance or who's on board the boat with you? Jesus Christ in that moment showed us who God really is. He's in control even when we don't think he is. He's in total control. He's in charge of everything. There's no situation that happens in our lives for which God does not have ultimately all the control. Everything in the heavens and earth is yours, O Lord. We adore you as being in control of everything. Worship. That's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to worship him because he's in control of everything. I recognize God's in control, but I have a relationship with God who's in control of everything. That's what we build on. We acknowledge God's in control. So why do we worry? Because we try to do what only God can do. We try to control the uncontrollable, fix the unfixable, do the undoable, change the unchangeable, and get undone what has been done all on our own, and wonder why we're not getting success, because we cannot do what only God can do. The biggest problem with worry is it keeps us in this little box, right where the enemy wants us, so we don't pass the test. And we don't strive to go to the next place and to graduate to the next class. It keeps us from becoming fruitful in all areas of our lives. Because when you let worry go and then you start choosing faith and you acknowledge God is in control, you begin to live out the greatness that God wants to perform through and in your life and fulfill the reason why you're here. It'll happen in your family. It happens in your education. Acknowledge God's control. And the secret to letting go of anxiety is recognizing and relating to a God who has everything in control. Jesus talked about flowers. He also talked about the birds. It's kind of interesting. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Look at the birds. They don't worry. They don't get ulcers. You've never seen a bird in line at Raley's buying Tums. They don't worry. Birds simply depend on the generosity of God, the Creator who made all things, so they're going to have enough food to eat because God created everything, including them, and he'll take care of them. Jesus is saying, when you understand that God values a little bird, don't you think he values you even more? And when you get hold of how much God values you and how much he loves you and acknowledge he's got control, you learn he's a generous God. We worry because we've got this bad concept of God. We think he's the sovereign Scrooge, that he's kind of like we are. No, he's a generous God. All creation shows his generosity. And if you're waiting to have faith in perfect circumstances, that's not faith. You could do that without having any faith. That's just a lie that everything's going to get perfect. We live in a world right now where circumstances are not perfect, and they won't be until Jesus comes back. That's facing reality, but we face this reality with faith. I can face problems in relationship with, in connection with, a generous God who wants to encourage, help, strengthen me no matter what problem I'm facing. Give me wisdom in how to face it. Give me strength, the strength to face it as I walk through it, because you're with me. I can get through this with your help, and we get to choose whether we pass or fail here. Now, there are real problems we face. I don't understand all of them, but I know there's a real God I've learned to be able to trust. Which is it going to be in your life today? So Jesus said, don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. Talk about God's wisdom in one sentence. Live one day at a time. That's how you do it. You don't try to live tomorrow today. And people are doing that all the time. That doesn't mean you don't set goals. Doesn't mean we don't have, this is what we're going to want to see done this year, next 3, next 5, next 7, next decade. These are the things that we want to get achieved. That's fine. Make your goals, make your plans. But remember, it's all under God's control. Amen? Then when things don't go right, and you're on your way to that goal like Joseph was on his way to his destiny and his purpose, then all these kinds of things come flying out of nowhere. You keep trusting him one day at a time. You will get me through this. But it's boring, Lord. No, but you're growing, and I'm working. Stop complaining. and trust me. I know what it feels like to be overwhelmed and anxious. The problem is, it's big, and we don't know how we're going to get out from under this one. And it really does feel like your boat's starting to sink, and I don't know what to do about this. I can't stop it from sinking. So what do I do? When you don't know where to turn because of anxiety, where do you start? Don't even know what to say. What's the first thing you do to get help and get relief? With this verse, the last verse on your outline, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about what happens to you. I remember when my earthly dad, when I was in trouble and I felt anxious or scared, upset about something that wasn't the way I wanted it to be, and I'd run to my dad, and I remember he'd just kind of wrap a big arm around me and hold me close, and I felt safe. And all that anxiety began to dissipate and go away because that big strong arm was around me, and I thought while I was sitting there with that big arm around me, my dad can whip anybody. He's strong. He was. And that's the way I feel about my Heavenly Father. Now, that's the way I know what I know about my Heavenly Father. He can whip anybody. There's nothing that can stop my God. Amen? And you realize God cares about you, cares about what you're going through, cares about the hurts you've suffered, cares about the details. He cares. You give your cares to him. How do you do that? By talking with him, saying, God, I need to trust you with this. I can't figure this out. I'm asking you for help. And I choose to set my fears to the side and realize you're in control. No matter what happens, you've got this and you've got me, and all things are working together for good for those who love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. And I can stand on this word that if you, Father, are for me, who can be against me? And like David, I remember the I am who was there with the bear, and the I am who was there on another day, but he was still the I am with the lion, and he was the I am the day he looked at that giant and said, my God will crush you to the ground because I serve the great I am. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet and bless him and thank him and praise him.